This morning's scripture reading will be taken from the 14th chapter of Acts, verses 19 through 22. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God."
I want to say to those who are visiting with us today that I'm glad you came. You are an honored guest of ours, and we hope that you've already received a warm welcome from those of us who worship here at this time, and we want you to come back every time the opportunity presents itself. I know some of you thought you were going to hear Kevin today, our regular preacher. He's out of town, and he asked me if I would fill in for him, and I said, sure, I'll do that. And so as a preacher, for over 40 years, I've been presented with all kinds of problems. And I wish that I could tell you how cleverly I have met all of these challenges, how wisely I have answered every inquiry. But I have learned some things. I have learned that there is some advice that you can't trust. For example, that dog won't bite. I remember one time as a little boy selling apples and grapes to retired Methodist preachers at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. That's the assembly ground for the Methodist Church. And I walked up on the porch, and there's a dog there and a man sitting in the rocking chair, and he said, "Son, don't worry, that dog won't bite you." I evidently looked kind of scared. And so I made my sale, put my money in my pocket, turned around, walked off the porch, that dog bit me. I don't trust that advice. I bought a car one time to drive back and forth to work. And the guy told me, said, "When the gas gauge gets on empty, you've got 2 gallons of gasoline left." Not so. Don't trust that. Another one is, you can't miss it. Ask people directions. They say, "Go down to the second red light, turn right. You go down 3 more blocks, turn left, and then you go for a mile, and you're going to be out in the country. Now, out there, you're going to find that there used to be a big tree there. It's about that big around, and so they cut it off, and they made that as a fence post for the corner of this pasture. Once you pass that particular fence post, go to the next road to the left, and turn left, go across the bridge, and it's right there on the right. You can't miss it." Don't tell me I can't miss it. I've driven around looking for silos and barns and houses and trees and stumps and dogs. And I tell you what, I don't trust that. Another one is, that gun's not loaded. My cousin believed that, and the gun was loaded. But yet I've learned some other things. The best advice that I know how to give you in most situations I'd like to share with you today. And I believe that you can trust this advice. If you come to me with a problem, you probably would hear this kind of advice. Now, many people are wounded. They come to me and they're discouraged. Their faith is weakened. Their spirit is wounded. They've lost their focus. They're not motivated. They're distracted. They've been disappointed. They've been screened out by others. Maybe they have family pressures, and they've been misunderstood. And so if they come to me with this problem, here's the advice that I would probably give them one way or another. It's not very profound, but it's practical. Here it is. Keep on going. Not very eloquent language, is it? Oh, I dress it up just a little bit so people think I know more than I really do. But here's the essence of it. The fat removed, the bone taken out, boil down, no sauce. It comes out, keep on going. Now, what do I mean by that? Can you trust it? I mean, don't let life get you down. Winners never quit and quitters never win. I mean, if you have a job, stick to it until it's done. I have in my hand here a letter. It's addressed to me, Steve Riley, 1109 Jacob Springs Boulevard, Rockford, Tennessee. And it comes from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I don't know how many hands this letter's been in before it got to me. But evidently the person who wrote this letter deposited it in a box. Somebody picked it up, took it to a center. They sorted it. It finally came this way toward Knoxville, toward Maryville. Then it made its way to Rockford. And then the mail carrier in Rockford had to sort it. Put it in a cart, drove down my street, put this in my mailbox. And you know why they delivered that? Because of that little stamp right up there on the left-hand corner. But you're right. It stuck to the job until it was done. They will not deliver it unless that stamp is on there. So that little stamp had the stick-to-itiveness. And that's what I'm talking about. I want you to stick to the job until it's done. I mean, keep on doing what you know you should, no matter what happens. Keep studying your Bible as you should. Keep on praying without ceasing. Keep on attending successfully and faithfully. Keep on giving as you should. Keep on being the good example. Keep on helping others. Keep on using your talents for the Lord. Keep on trying to save souls. Many times things happen, and we say, I'm going to quit. Until I get it all straightened out. You'll never get things straightened out outside of Christ, because all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it hems us in on both sides. We can't go to the right. We can't go to the left. We can't go back. We've only got to go forward. So keep on going. I mean, no matter what happens, good or bad. Discouraged or encouraged, sad or happy, refreshed or tired, young or old, few or many problems. Set your sight on that heavenly goal and get up that road as fast as you can, even if it's at a snail's pace. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the goal of God. I press on. And so you might ask, is this advice biblical? Well, it's in the Bible. The Bible uses various words that convey this idea, the idea of continuing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They didn't quit. In Acts 13, verse 43, Paul and Barnabas' advice to the believers in Antioch of Pisidia, they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In our scripture reading today, in Acts chapter 14, they told them many things would happen and befall them. Paul, even stoned, left for dead. They gathered around. He went back in the city. Then he encouraged those brethren that they should keep going. There's the word endurance, the idea of perseverance. In Hebrews 11:27, Moses endured because of his faith. He kept on going. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he that endureth to the end, Jesus said, shall be saved. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, Paul says, thou therefore endure hardship or hardness as a good soldier. They tell me the hardest part of soldiering is the discomfort, the waiting, and the monotony. Paul says, you're a soldier of Christ. Regardless of what comes, keep on going, regardless of what happens. There's that word patience. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Let us therefore run with patience the race that is set before us. In your patience possess your souls, Jesus said. But this takes us all in. Hebrews 10 verse 36. For you have need of patience, the King James Version says, endurance. So the advice, keep on going, is scriptural advice. As we encourage our fellow soldiers, the soldiers of Christ, there are those that are wounded. There are those that are discouraged. They get no encouragement at home. There's tension in the family. Maybe they have the empty nest syndrome. Maybe fatigue caring for an individual at home. Or maybe their illness. You might ask, is this advice practical? Well, keep on going is the way that most things get done. Most of life is spent in the valley, not on the mountaintop. And I get sick and tired of my brethren going around the brotherhood telling you that you got to walk on the mountaintop. You can't do it. Most of life is in the valley. How about it, Mom? That little baby. The joy when a little baby comes into the home. But yet, there are sleepless nights, there are long nights, there are dirty diapers that need to be changed. There is food, there is sickness, there's crying, there's carrying on. There's all kinds of things. Most of life is duty and responsibility. Sometimes it's even drudgery. Marriage, 90% of marriage is just plain hard work. It's kind of like farming. You've got to start all over every day in marriage. And so, the occasional bright spot, raising a young child as it comes into this world, is motivational. Anything worthwhile in life is accomplished by keep on going. There is the value in keeping busy in spite of the troubles that we have. If you're busy being kind, before you knew it, you would find you'd soon forget to think 'twas true that someone was unkind to you. So if you're busy being glad and cheering people who are sad, although the heart may break a bit, you'd soon forget to notice it. But if you were busy being good and doing the very best you could, you'd not have time to blame some man who's doing just the best that he can. But if you're busy being true to what you know you ought to do, you'd be so busy you forget the blunders of the folks you've met. And if you're busy being right, you'd find yourself too busy quite to criticize your neighbor long because he's busy being wrong. Many times, if we just kept on going, everything would have turned out all right. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must. Don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. I believe this is good practical advice. Because if you ever quit, it's hard to ever get started again. Mechanical engineers tell us and say that it takes 6 times as much power to start a flywheel from a dead stop as it does to keep it going once it's in motion. Flipping on the light switch takes enough electricity to keep the bulb burning for several hours. Starting your car takes as much gasoline as it would to drive several blocks. We know this. It takes more fuel in stop-and-go city driving than it does driving on the freeway. And so keep on going spiritually. It takes far less effort than trying to get going once you've stopped. It's good practical advice because my Lord said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Making up our minds to keep on going day by day, marching to our goal. This is what I'm trying to say. Keep on going, and truly an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the advice of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. It's a spiritual war out there. And many of our fellow soldiers get wounded. And we need to quit shooting the wounded. We need to encourage them. So, Steve, how about applying this to some specific areas of life? Some of these little wounds that happen to us. How about applying that advice to this and see if we can really trust it? Okay, what about when you have troubles? Keep on going. The longest road has a bending. The grimiest hour has a wing. The hardest task has an ending. The coldest year has a spring. The saddest day has a morrow. The darkest night has a dawn. Turn from your memory of sorrow and march courageously on. Sometimes these little troubles that we have, sometimes a little thing turns out to be a big thing. And when I think about that, I think about a bowl of potato salad. I like potato salad. Anybody like potato salad beside me? I like potato salad. So there we are. We're at this dinner. There's that bowl of potato salad, and I see a fly walking on it. Then I see two flies. You see, I don't mind the flies. It's just what he was stepping in before he got there. So that little thing turns into a big thing. No, thank you. I don't think I wanted that potato salad. So sometimes little things can turn into be big things. These little troubles that we have. What about when you're sad? Keep on going. This little girl sitting on the front step of the house. And she had her elbows on her knees and her head in her hands. Dad drives in the driveway and he walks around and he says, "How's my little darling today?" And she said, "I'm having trouble with your wife." She was sad. Well, here's a little game that I think has a good lesson in it. Take the word depression. Now, depression is a peculiar looking word. D-E-P-R-E-S-S-I-O-N. Take the prefix off. D-E. You still got a funny looking word. Depression. Look very closely in that letter and you'll see the letter I. And usually I am the problem. So take the I out. Now let's spell it. P-R-E-S-S-O-N. I tell you what, that's a good lesson to learn if you're sad, if you're depressed, whatever ails you. That will help you. What about when you fail? Keep on going. Success comes to those who keep trying. Thomas Edison, he failed 10,000 times in the experiment to perfect the electric storage battery. Abraham Lincoln failed as a shopkeeper and was defeated twice as a candidate for the U.S. Senate. If you fail, don't quit. Keep on going. Maybe you like this thoroughbred. This man bought this horse. He's a racehorse. He'd won a lot of races. He was going to win some races. It had been losing ever since he bought it. So one day he walked over and friend to animal reached up and got it by the ear. And he said, "If you don't win this race today, I'm hooking you up to a milk wagon in the morning. You understand?" The jockey got on the horse. The claxon rang. He come out of there. He was ahead of everybody. Going down first turn, second turn, third turn. Coming down the back stretch, he just pooped out. And the jockey was beating and hammering. He turned around and looked and said, "I wish you wouldn't do that. I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning." So when you fail, keep on going. What about when you succeed? Keep on going. It's easy to slack off when you succeed. Remember what Paul said? Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Very good advice. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God." Where is it, Paul? "In Christ Jesus." What about if you're discouraged? Keep on going. Progress is slow. It seems like the devil wins more times than you do during the day. Sometimes I win more than he does. But sometimes we get discouraged. Experienced hiker was asked, "What's the hardest, the first 5 miles, the middle 5, or the last 5 in a 15-mile hike?" And he said, "The middle. The first 5, they're fresh. The last 5, they see the goal. But it's the 5 in the middle, they get so discouraged, they want to quit." Don't give up, don't quit. These fellows were playing sandlot baseball, boys in the neighborhood. They had enough for 2 teams. out at the backside, there was this boy out in the field. He was hitting his glove. He was cheering his team on. Fellow walks by out there and watches for a minute. And in the break, he said, "Son," said, "look like you're getting beat. The score's 28-0. He said, "No, sir." He said, "We just ain't got into bat yet." I love that little guy. I love that guy. He wasn't going to be discouraged by that. "We just ain't got into bat yet." He had confidence in what they believed and what they could do, regardless of what was being done to them. What about when you're all alone? Keep on going. Being a Christian sometimes can be a lonely business. Can seem like only you are standing for the right. Elijah's problem, that's what his problem was. If you listen to him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, he said, "And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." That wasn't true. Five verses later, verse 18, God revealed 7,000 who had not bowed their knee to Baal. Peter had the right idea, although he didn't live up to it, in Matthew 26, verse 33. "If all shall be offended in thee, I will never be offended." We're never really alone. Well, what about when you're confused? We call them blessed that endured. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job," James reminds us. Job was about as confused as his friends were, his so-called comforters. He couldn't understand why all these things were happening to him. But Job didn't quit. He was confused. The little fella came home one day from school. He had what I call a pump knot right up over his eye, a little old knot sticking right up there. His hair was all tousled, dried grass was on his back of his shirt, his pocket was torn and the button was off. And his mama said, "What in the world's wrong?" He said, "I'll do it again, I'll do it again tomorrow. If he says those words, I'll do it again. I'll whip him all over that playground if he says those words." "Son, what did he say?" "Mama," he said, "you wasn't my real mama, and daddy wasn't my real daddy. And if he says those words again tomorrow, I'm going to whip him again." He turned around, and there was dad. He had to go through that same heartbreaking story to him. And he said, "Son, don't worry about it. Go on upstairs and get cleaned up. Mom's cooked your favorite supper, fried chicken, corn on the cob, and coconut pie." And as he went up, dad said to mom, said, "You think we ought to tell him?" It was a delicious meal. Dad broke the silence. He said, "Son, the words that boy said to you today are true. You see, your mom and I couldn't have any children. And so we went to that home and we saw you. And we picked you. We adopted you into our family. You are our adopted son. We are your mother and dad. And you know what? I'm proud to say today that I'm adopted. I'm an adopted son. That's what the Bible tells me. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Even if you're confused, don't you quit. Because you need to remember, you are a new creation in Christ. You are a member of God's family. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We're heirs and joint heirs with him to all that God has for us. We are adopted into the family of God if you're a child of God. Be proud of that. Don't be confused. What about when you sin? Don't let this cause you to quit. Don't let failure discourage you. Pick yourself up and ask God to forgive you. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Did Moses quit after he disobeyed God by striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock? No. People were depending on his leadership. Yet some people get down on themselves and they want to quit. They don't get the encouragement. They get shunned or scolded. Remember Christ, the physician that made you whole when you were sick and sad and dismal. The world will notice when you get forgiveness of those sins. They'll notice the pep in your step and the unction in your gumption. They'll notice that. And it may be that as they see your life from this point on, that you are the only Bible they'll ever read. You are a living translation of Christ living in you. So did Moses quit? Nope, he kept on going. True happiness and contentment can only be found in Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In this crooked and perverse generation, there is salvation in Christ. If you strike a thorn or a rose, keep on going. If it hails or if it snows, keep on going. Tain't no use to sit and whine when the fish ain't on your line. Bait your hook and keep a trying. Keep on going. When the weather kills your crop, keep on going. When 'tis work to reach the top, keep on going. Suppose you're out of every dime. Being broke ain't no crime. Tell the world you're feeling prime and keep on going. When it looks like all is up, keep on going. Drain the sweetness from the cup, keep on going. See the wild birds on the wing, hear the bells that sweetly ring. When you feel like sighing, sing, keep on going. I believe this advice is biblical. I believe it's practical. I believe you can trust it. For those who are troubled, for those who are sad and failed, those who even succeed, those that are discouraged and confused and feel alone and sin, wounded in some other way, we need to help them to keep on going. We don't need to shoot the wounded in today. Think real hard of someone you know that's wounded. And they need to be encouraged. They need a pat on the back. They need a hug. They need a word of encouragement. You got it? That's the challenge. You know someone? Do you know someone that you can encourage? It's rough out there. It's rough. Maybe today you need to even ask for the prayers of the congregation. If so, we'd be delighted to help you. We'd be able to pray for you, and we'll pray for you. We'll find a place to put your name so that we can remember it and pray for you as your request. If you're not a Christian today, you have a terminal disease. The wages of sin is death. But that sin, that disease, can be put in remission if today you'll respond in obedience to His will. In the foothills of the Ozarks was a one-room schoolhouse. Back during the Depression, the schoolmaster's job remained vacant most of the time because those boys made it so hard on the teacher that they either quit or they ran him off. One year they got a schoolmaster to take the job. He was an old man. Word got out in the community, and the boys got together and said, "This will be a pushover, that old man." They anticipated the first day of class, and the old man stood up with a shaking hand, and he said, "Boys," he said, "things are going to be different now. You're going to lay down the law. You're going to set the rules. We've got to have a law to go by. Then you'll set the punishment for those who break the law. The punishment will be so many lashes by that bullwhip right back there where you hang your coats. One by one, they begin to raise their hand. They begin to come up with all kinds of rules and laws, and then the punishment. And everything went fine for several days. Then one day, 15-year-old Big John came in. They'd been outside. He said, "Somebody stole my lunch. Somebody stole my lunch. I want to know who it is. Somebody stole my lunch." And the room was as quiet as a Texas oyster. It didn't take much investigation to find out that this little 9-year-old boy with an oversized coat on confessed. He said, "You see, my dad has been out of work for days. I haven't had anything to eat in 2 days. And I saw that food and I ate it." Teacher said, "Son, you know the punishment. 10 lashes with that whip. Take your coat off, meet me on the porch." The teacher walked back and took that whip off of that hanger, threw it over his shoulder, and an endless coil of leather fell to the ground. And Big John stood up. "Hold it right there, teacher. Hold it right there. I'm going to take that whooping for that boy." Big John learned a lesson that day. That where there is a law, there's mercy and grace. By whose stripes have you been healed? If you have the courage of conviction today as a believer, you're willing to turn from all your sin and repentance, confess with your mouth unashamedly before this group what you believe about the deed of Christ, that is, He is the Son of God. Die to self-rule and self-will and be buried with your Lord by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord will add you to the church, give you a new name Christian, ask you to wear that name proudly, be faithful unto death, the crown will be yours. And your terminal disease will be put in remission. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Knowing what you know, I wonder why you've waited so long. Knowing what you know, why would you wait any longer? Knowing what you know, what a wonderful way to say to the Lord, "Thank you. I love you. Because the innocent died for you, the guilty." If that's your decision today and you want to make Him the Lord of your life, the Savior of your soul, I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.